Welcome to the frequency.
You're listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. Here's your host, Keith Blakemore Noble.
Hey, hello, hello. Welcome back. Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. Great to have you here. Remember, if you like, if you enjoy this stuff, give us a like, give us a comment, give us a share, give us a subscribe. It all helps to boost the show and get it far and wide. Talking of the show, who have we got on today? Well, let me tell you about my guest today. From the back alleys of Clubland London to the boardrooms of Hong Kong, Jeff Smith's entrepreneurial journey has traversed the most eclectic terrains that the world has to offer. He's an international entrepreneur with a proven track record and a multifaceted career. Now, Jeff's story is a testament to grit, perseverance, and an indomitable spirit. So having barked on adventures that most would only dare to watch on the big screen and often hiding behind their closed hands, having embarked upon those sorts of adventures, Jeff has faced perilous challenges. He's navigated through the toughest of life's lessons, but like a true visionary, he possesses the uncanny ability to find golden opportunities in the most unlikely of places. His unyielding spirit not only saw him safely through danger, but enabled him to emerge from those challenges with groundbreaking business ideas and an unbreakable resilience. You can see why we had to have him as a guest on here. Today, Jeff stands at the helm of a thriving group of companies spanning commodities, management consulting, and media services. Yet this success wasn't handed to him on a silver platter. Along the way, he faced setbacks, and yes, he experienced the sting of failure on more than one occasion. But to Jeff, failure was never the end. It was simply a lesson. Each setback sharpened his business acumen, teaching him invaluable business lessons that to many of us learn far too late in our careers. That is my guest in today's episode, amazing Jeff Smith. Hey, Jeff, how are you doing, sir?
Keith, good to see you, mate. Thanks for having me on your show. Really looking forward to it.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you for joining us. Now, we've heard a bit about your bio. Makes you sound like a cross between Alan Sugar, Richard Branson, and James Bond, quite frankly. I'm looking forward to delving into this. But before we delve in, I have to ask, we've heard your bio, but who is Jeff? Who is the man behind the bio?
I think the bio, right? I did a fantastic job. I am a cross between all of those things, and I'll definitely take James Bond. So that's all good. I would say I'm a serial entrepreneur. I've been an entrepreneur since I was a kid, you know, starting out, 12 years old with businesses, and getting involved in stuff. I've learned a lot of lessons the hard way. Some of them have been painful. Some of them have been costly. But what I've learned through that is, you know, resilience and how to come out the other side and how to create and build businesses off the back of it. And part of what I look to do now and what I am actually about is helping other entrepreneurs to do that and to actually find ways over obstacles, help them crush their business goals and help them take it to the next level, by hopefully helping them avoid some of the painful pitfalls that I've fallen down over the years. life is all about learning and lessons, and you know, failures are among the biggest and most long-lasting lessons that we pick up. But part of what I try and do is pass that experience on to people and hopefully help them see that, you know, no matter how things are looking to them, no matter how tough it's getting and how hard things might be, that there's always a route through to get to where you want to go. So that's what I try and do now. That's part of what I preach through my companies and to our clients and all of the channels that we've got available to us. That's what I do.
Got it. Now that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. Now, before we delve into where you came from and how you do what you do, just tell us, how many companies are you heading up at the moment? Tell us a little bit about them.
Well, currently I've got three companies that I'm involved in on an active day-to-day basis. And then I have other companies that I have shareholding interests in, but have stepped away from the day-to-day operations. So I have a total of about five companies operating at the moment, three of which I'm involved with on a day-to-day basis. And outside of that, I have my own mentoring and business clinic type stuff that I also operate. So if you want to sum them all up, I'm probably across six companies at the moment.
Six companies. How do you keep track of it? How do you keep track of it all?
Well, I've been really fortunate that throughout building those businesses, and one of the lessons that I learned early on is making sure that you've got the right people around you. And whether that's the people who are going to rein you back in when you're charging that stuff like a bull in a china shop, or whether that's people who are going to compliment to your ideas or bring in all of the skill sets that you haven't got. I'm very good big picture guy. I can see where I want to go, but I also make sure that I dovetail that with the skill sets of people who also dot I's and cross T's, which enables me to keep things on track and also helps me managing then my itinerary, where I'm supposed to be, what I'm supposed to be doing, whose podcast I'm supposed to turn up for, and what I should be doing on a day-to-day basis. So very much across our businesses is about making sure that I've got a team that can keep all of those things working and running for me, and that I then have the sort of the overall guidance on that. But I've just got fantastic people around me who really can support my visions, which is what I set the tone with.
Got it. Yeah. So it's about building and having that team that, as you say, support your vision, and they help handle all the day-to-day stuff. Basically, I'm guessing, just say, right, Jeff, go here, do this, you're going there today.
Absolutely. And the best laid plans, Keith, that's how it's supposed to work. Normally it's like, oh, you've forgotten to be there and it's an hour's drive away and you're supposed to be there in 5 minutes. That tends to be how it does end up some of the time. But mostly we get through it, and a lot of the people that we deal with are quite gracious if that does happen. Yeah. So we try and minimize that as much as possible. But it's a fun experience. And yeah, the main thing about my business and everything I do within it is it's fun and it's enjoyable. I've heard the story about, if you do what you love, you never work a day in your life. But the truth is that actually you do more work because you love it. So actually you work an awful lot. So we'll blow that one out the water straight away. I genuinely enjoy what I do, and I enjoy the people that I work with. And I enjoy the clients that we work with, because we can see the difference that our businesses bring to their business and to their lives and to their families' lives, which is the important thing. One of our big ethos is certainly within my management consultancy business is we decided we wanted to have a positive impact on a billion people's lives through the services that we provide. So seeing that come into fruition when we're delivering services and seeing how it impacts on their business and how it then impacts on their family, their friends, their suppliers, their customers, and following through that journey with them is really, really rewarding. So that's what we're about.
Right. Help a billion people, or impact a billion people. Hey, I guess if you're going to have an aim, you might as well aim big. Why not?
Absolutely. I think you can afford to have big goals, the multiplier effect of when you have a good impact on one person who then spreads that onto two people who spread that, then that number of a billion doesn't become quite so scary. So, and it's on paper, it sounds like a big goal. But when you actually do that through the multiples, then, that's not unachievable.
True. And I guess, worst case, even if you only get halfway there, you've only helped half a billion people. Oh, no.
Well, that'll be a terrible cross I'll have to bear, Keith.
Now, we as we discovered in your bio, you certainly weren't born handed all this on a silver platter. You've worked hard for this. You said you started your first steps on your entrepreneurial journey at the age of 12, did you say? Tell us a little bit about that.
My first business was actually, I had a car cleaning round with a friend from school, and we used to go out sort of every Saturday out into the local area with our bikes, a bucket and sponge, and go. We used to use sales techniques that have become really frowned upon in recent times. We used to actually knock on people's doors and ask them if they wanted something, which over the recent years seems to be something you're not allowed to do anymore. But that's what we did. And we built quite a successful little round, which I had for a few years there. And it actually was my first successful business exit, because I sold that business before I left school and made a few pounds out of it. So it was that was my initiation into working for myself.
Wow. So yeah, you had the business while you were at school, and you then sold it and actually made some money off the back of it.
Yeah, well, you know, the sale story is perhaps not quite so salubrious as it sounds, but I sold it to a chap called Trevor in the sick form for an amount of £400 and some artistic magazines.
Right.
And he took the round over for us and carried on. So that was when I was just coming up to GCSE age.
Yeah, right. Well, I think that's a fairly decent price, quite frankly.
I'd say it's an exit, and exits are very difficult, so I'm keeping it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, let's face it, I guess quite a few people are listening will probably have had some sort of business that they set up while they were at school. And they then just let it die off when they left. But you, no, as you say, you exited your business. You sold it on.
Absolutely, yeah. Creating that legacy, Keith. I'm all about legacy businesses.
All about the legacy, yeah. So from there, what happened next? I mean, obviously, you didn't go from that to running six businesses. What's kind of the steps that got you to where you are today?
A bit of a mixture from there, Keith. So I went off from there, and I had a business in security. So I worked all through college. So I was heavily involved in the gym, weight training, boxing, martial arts, and that stood me in good stead for being one of those handsome chaps that stands outside of nightclubs deciding who gets in and who doesn't. So I worked along in the security industry as I was going through and doing my A-levels. And I did that as sort of alongside my studies. So that was something I had in the background all of the time. And then I went off training in finance. So my proper job background, if you like, was in financial services. I started off in insurance sales. I used to be the man at the Pearl who used to come round and do the door-to-door selling the home insurance. So that's where I sort of cut my teeth on my selling skills, if you like. Mm-hmm. And that progressed then into financial management, into corporate financial management and pension schemes. I used to do a lot of seminar selling of pensions. And then I went off into the banking industry. So then I was working internationally in the banking industry, spent some time in Dubai, across the Middle East. I was a country manager in Jordan, looking after Lebanon, Palestine and Jerusalem, as well as Jordan for one of the large banking groups. And obviously, I spent a bit of time out in Hong Kong and travelled around and done various deals for some financial companies out there as well. So a fairly eclectic mix of stuff from running a gym to working in a boardroom in Hong Kong, talking about, you know, hundreds of millions worth of trade deals. So it's been a fair mix of stuff that I've done.
Yeah, eclectic, as you say, it's taking you around the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
The favorite place that you've been and the favorite business that you've done so far? Because obviously you still have plenty more to go.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think my favorite businesses that I've been involved with, you know, albeit they're much safer than some of the ones I used to be involved with, are the ones I'm actually doing now, because with, you know, I'm seeing real benefit for our customers, you know, and my whole outlook has sort of changed over the years. When I was much younger, I was very much, you know, it was all about the money, the status and how much I could have and what I could get out of it. And it was all fairly mercenary and fairly cutthroat. So the biggest paycheck I could get, was the driver over recent years, and certainly since I started experiencing the ups and downs of what entrepreneurial life can look like, it's actually become more about what I can give to other people rather than what I can take myself. And I found that actually I've benefited an awful lot more from that. So I would say my favorite businesses are certainly the ones that I'm in now. I would say that the most interesting one, albeit for probably a lot of the wrong reasons, was the security business, which I was in for a number of years and took me to some very interesting places and introduced me to some very interesting people. But certainly the being notable for all the right reasons is what I'm doing now.
Yeah, got it. Yeah, I love what you're saying about in the security business, you're meeting interesting people and getting involved in interesting situations. I've spoken to not loads, but a small number of people in various levels in security. And funnily enough, all of them describe it as interesting.
That's what we'll commit to on camera, Keith. That's what.
Yeah.
We never know who's going to see these things. A lot of these people are still alive.
Yeah, very true. Very true. And don't worry, I'm not going to press on things like that because, as you say, you never know who's watching. Absolutely. So you've from the car washing business to where you are now, it's taken you through lots of different types of businesses, some more interesting than others. It's taken you to many, many parts of the world. You've had a great many successes, which is fantastic. You've also had, as was alluded to in your bio, you've also had your share of failures.
Absolutely, yeah.
Talk us through a little bit about that, a bit about some of the failures, and perhaps more importantly, what enables you to go, oh, well, that didn't work. Right, let's pick ourselves up and carry on.
Yeah, that's a great question, Keith. To be honest, I mean, I've had several failures. It would be fair to say that I have ridden the roller coaster. I have had to put companies into liquidation. Doesn't always sit comfortably, particularly when you've got people around you that you've made commitments to and things that you want to keep, but you know, circumstances are taken out of your control for one reason or another, and where things have gone down. And when you lose a business like that. Particularly if it's something that you've put, you know, blood, sweat and tears into building, it's soul destroying, absolutely soul destroying. You know, the sleepless nights, the stress, the pressure on your friends, your family, it costs you relationships, it can cost you your self-respect because you haven't been able to deliver on your word in some cases. And that's one of the things that still weighs quite heavily on me now. And with some of those businesses, I'm still making amends with people now because they're things that I don't let go. So once you get into that, but once you find yourself in a position where you're stripped right back down to basics, you know, you get to the position where you've gone from having, you know, pretty much everything that you ever wanted, all the money that you wanted, being able to do what you like, to, you know, going to buy a cup of coffee from McDonald's is suddenly an unspeakable luxury that you just can't do. You find something in yourself. You really start to understand what makes you tick and what's important to you. And when you're on the floor and you're broken and everything is gone, you only have two choices. You either stay there or you get up and you go again. And you take those lessons, you take the hit on the chin, you learn what's gone on, you learn from the mistakes, you resolve never to make those mistakes again, and you have another go. That's what you do.
Yeah, I think the key thing there is you resolve never to make those mistakes again. Reminds me of that clip from one of the Jurassic Park films, Jeff Goldblum saying to Richard Attenborough, no, you're right. You're not making the same mistakes. You're making whole new ones.
Exactly. Exactly. But the mistakes, you know, mistakes are the building blocks of success. You can't, you know, everybody who has become outrageously successful, if you dig back through their catalog far enough, you will find some failure that it's built on or some mistakes that they have made. If you make a mistake, you're learning. You know, you're not expected to know everything straight away. And this is one of the things we're talking about in my mentoring, in the clinics, and certainly in the management consultancies. When you leave school, Nobody trains you how to be the CEO of a company. Yeah. You know, you learn everything else. You learn how to get up and walk. You learn how to drive a car. Somebody teaches you. When you start a business and it suddenly starts to grow a life of its own, and all of a sudden you've got 10 staff working and you don't really quite know how that's happened, you know, you can find yourself sat on quite a lonely seat when you're the head of a business, because you know, you don't know all the answers, but everyone who works for you and with you expects you to have all the answers. And you can find yourself then very isolated. You know, it's a struggle to talk to your friends. It's a struggle to talk to your family because they don't quite get it, because the entrepreneurial mindset is a very different one to someone who's going to go and take a job for somebody. You can't come in and tell all of your staff how concerned you are about how things are going and whether or not you might make a mistake. You just have to aim your car and hope it stays on the road and you make your small adjustments along the way. But you know, you will make mistakes. And I think that that's one of the things that a lot of entrepreneurs and a lot of people struggle to accept, is that actually you will make mistakes. Mistakes are inevitable. It's how you handle the mistakes and what you do with what you learn is what separates you from success to not so successful.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. We will. If somebody has never made a mistake, then obviously they've just never tried to do anything. You always make mistakes in everything that we do.
Absolutely. It's, I think if you haven't made a mistake, it tells you you're not trying hard enough.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned it gets very lonely, and obviously you can't talk to staff. Go, oh, cool, I don't know if this business is going to work. For obvious reasons, you can't talk to friends. Who can you talk to? How do you get through that incredibly lonely side of things?
Well, I think in business it's really important to put good people around you. And one of the things that I advocate, and one of the things that I advocate because I also provide that for people, is a mentor who can get you through those things because they've seen it before. What you're buying is for your business. You're buying in that experience, and somebody also sometimes a crazy idea, and you need somebody to tell you whether or not it is a crazy idea. And so if you've got a mentor, you know, a confidant, somebody around you who can actually give you a steer and bring that experience to you, it makes life so much easier, because it is a lonely job running a business and being expected to have all of the answers, and you're not quite sure which way you should be going. So sometimes just a friendly conversation with somebody who can say, okay, right, let's have a look, let's evaluate the options. And not only that, once you've made a decision, let's see it through and let's have some accountability. Let's actually make you accountable for that, and let me help you along those steps. That's the best way of doing it. So if you can bring in somebody like that, and if you look at a lot of the major businesses around the world, you know, major people like Tony Robbins, who would, you know, owns over 100 companies of his own, also works with mentors of his own. So some of the best coaches and the best people in the world have also got coaches and mentors that work for them. You know, if you're a Premiership footballer, you don't just go in there knowing everything. There's a coach and a strategist and a manager that helps you put it all together. And I think that's the thing, is when you're out there as an entrepreneur, having someone who can give you that steering, let's evaluate where we're at. Let's see where we I know sometimes that there are costs prohibitive costs for people who are just starting out. But I also would say, you know, pick where you're going to spend your money, because, you know, a bit of money spent with a mentor or a coach who can guide you will save you a lot of expensive mistakes. So it might seem as expensive now, but it's been a lot more expensive if you make the mistakes and you lose your business as a result.
Yeah. You think hiring a mentor is expensive? Try not hiring one.
Exactly.
No, you're right. I mean, I remember reading a thing by Richard Branson. He says he always has at least two or three mentors on the go at any one time.
Absolutely.
Depending on what he's doing with his businesses.
I think it's money well spent for anybody. Is if you particularly if you're setting out as an entrepreneur, a first time entrepreneur, you can't be expected to know every single thing that you need to do. And sometimes just having that extra pair of eyes and ears who can see what's going on and has got that experience will save you an awful lot of sleepless nights.
Absolutely. And I was going to ask you what would be your biggest tip for people starting in entrepreneurship. I think you've just given it there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you know, it is for me, it is all about making sure you align yourself with the right people and keeping your eyes on the horizon and seeing what's happening. It's very easy when you get into a business to lose track of what's going on around you. You can lose focus. And if you lose focus on what's happening in your industry, what your competition's doing, what new technologies and stuff are coming through, you can very quickly find yourself becoming any other type of mistake. So just being aware of what's going on in your marketplace is one of the biggest tips that I would give people.
Yeah, no, that's there's a lot to be said for that. You're right. So much for taking some time out of your incredibly busy day to share with us. There's been a lot of useful stuff in there, and I love your tips. I love that we can learn from your experience. And of course, anyone wants to find out more, www.realdiamondgeezer.com. Thank you. And thank you, dear listener. If you enjoyed this, give us a like, comment, share, and subscribe, and we'll catch you in another episode very soon. Bye for now.
You've been listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. To find out more, please visit KeithBlakemoreNoble.com.